I want you to tell me I'm good at what I do.
You're obviously good at what you do.
Well, then why are you always ripping on me?
Oh, I understand the confusion. Now, I have never said that you are not good at what you do. It's just that what you do is not worth doing.
Hello and welcome again to another edition of Jedi and Germs on the Jazz, a weekly podcast brought to you by TornbySports.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy.
Hello.
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm swell.
Sweet.
I understand you had some raucous time the other night with some deafness of leopard.
Yes, I did. And it started off with some Tesla, and then we played a game of pickup sticks.
Sweet.
So, yeah, it was last night. It was quite the event, quite the concert, and I had no voice at the end of the show either, so it's all good.
Do sticks, like, have a whole repertoire, or do they just sing Mr. Roboto and Come Sail Away because they know that's all everyone knows, and then they just move on to the next band?
No, they sang a lot of their repertoire. Actually, there's a lot of songs they didn't sing. As a matter of fact, they did not sing Mr. Roboto.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was hoping that would end up somewhere towards the end, and they did not sing it. Come Sail Away was their encore song, I believe. But they did. They sang... Lately, when they've been doing concerts, they've been singing specific albums. So I think last night's album that they went through was Paradise. And so they sang a lot of stuff like Miss America and Renegade and some of the other songs that are, like I said, are well-known to me, but maybe not well-known to everybody else. But they went through that kind of group of songs last night.
Cool.
So it was good. It was fun. Devin gave me the weird look when I said they didn't sing Mr. Roboto, so I think he was just as shocked as well.
Very much so.
Yeah, I mean, if you're sticks, if they didn't play Come Sail Away, I would have started throwing stuff at the stage.
Sounds like a Geico commercial. If you're sticks, you play Mr. Roboto. That's what you do.
Well, you know, Geico's been bringing in all these other artists lately. Like, let's go with Europe and Countdown recently on their newest commercial, so...
Which they might. Did you ever listen to that album?
Europe?
Yes.
I don't know if I heard that album all the way through.
That album is, there's like 10 songs and 6 of them are the final countdown, just kind of like different versions of it. It was the most amazing. It's like they're admitting up front, we are going to be a one-hit wonder.
Well, the commercial adds to that. It's no, seriously, it's just so funny with what they're doing with Geico recently with all these artists. And then Billy Idol's
not a sponsor, so don't say their name anymore.
Oh, yeah, we don't want to say that. The insurance company that shall not be named there. All right. So, we've got a few topics tonight. You wanted to kick us off by talking about training camp. Media day, some of the interviews, some of the things to look forward to as we are now. The countdown, I believe, John, is now down to 4 days until preseason opening night.
Yeah, and when this publishes, maybe it'll be 3.
Dude, sweet.
You know someone's going to be listening to this like the night before. We're all just building up. We're all excited. I was listening to all the little interviews that Locke did with all the players, and overall, the headline story seems to be, how is Trey Burke going to be this year? And Trey, it sounds like, had some humbling moments last year, and it sounds like he's taking things a lot more seriously this summer, and you know, maybe not going out as much. And it sounds like he's prepared to be a leader off the court as well as on. So I'm interested in see how this is going to help him in his third season.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, I listened to a couple of his interviews. I went to 1280 and listened to some of the interviews they had with these guys. One of the things that I liked that Trey was talking about I kind of just took one-word answers or one-word, one-phrase ideas from each of these guys. One of the things he talked about was his preparation. In fact, he said that word a lot to start with, and how he's preparing both his physical body, but overall for the season. And then the other word he used a lot was consistency. And he's looking to find a level of consistency. The fact that he's talking about that, and that not somebody else is, you know, coaxing him and saying, you know, what are you going to do about consistency? The fact that he's very self-aware and he wants to be more consistent, I think is a good thing for him.
Yeah.
So
yeah, who stood out to you with the other interviews?
Quinn. Quinn actually was one of the first interviews I listened to, and his interview seems to focus a lot on the identity of the team and not just of himself. Like some of the guys talked about, I guess he had some visitors, some of his former coaches in town to visit too. And they talked a little bit about the visits and what it meant, but he tried to take the attention away from himself. But in a way, one of the underlying things he talked about was that he wants the team, that the Jazz will end up being an extension of him. I like that as a head coach. If you get your team and your players to be a complete extension, just like Carl and John and the group were of Jerry Sloan, you get somebody who's a complete extension of what the coach is. You've got an identity and you've got a lot to look forward to.
Yeah. I was also interested with Joe Ingles, where they were talking about how miserable a time he had when he was over with FC Barcelona.
Right.
And they compared that to Tibor Pleiss's experience. And he kind of gave some of the same. He's like, yeah, he basically said I could see where Joe's coming from. He didn't quite have as bad an experience, but I think he expected to be a bench player and expected to maybe have his minutes limited. But it was cool that they've both had that experience and they're able to come here. And I think Pleiss is going to have the same journey Ingles did with his rookie year, where he's going to, you know, try to figure out where he works on this team. And as the season goes on, gets more comfortable and starts having fun and, you know, works his way into the team chemistry.
I'm curious to ask you and Devin perhaps too, where do you guys see Joe Ingles, like his role on this team? And I'm not talking about on floor role only. You know, you talk about having a team with a leadership, whether that's a Gordon Hayward and stuff. There's a specific thought I had come to mind with Joe Ingles, and I'm kind of wondering if you two are on the same page as I am. What is Joe Ingles' role, both in the locker room and on the team overall?
He's the guy that keeps everything light and cheerful. He's also one of the older guys, so there's kind of this older, hey, don't sweat it, guys. He keeps things loose. Everyone likes him.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think he has not only that ability to, you know, keep things light, but to help guys learn. And I know that's kind of weird to say about a second year player, but I think he has the experience overseas, and he has, you know, who did he play for before? Wasn't he with the Clippers for a season?
Yes, briefly.
You know, he has
not for a season. He had a training camp, and yes, then he was like one of the last cuts.
Okay. He's been around, you know, longer than some of the guys, you know, quite a few of the guys, actually. And then you count his overseas play. I think he's a guy that's going to be a teacher, a mentor. You know, when things get tough, he's going to be able to calm his younger teammates down. And like you said, almost be like the older brother on the team.
The word that came to mind for me was the glue. He's the glue of the team. He keeps them together, both in the locker room, without. And I think he does that, John, by way of comedic value, like you said. Listening to an interview that the Big Show had, I think it was the Big Show, had with, was it the Big Show or was it Hans and Scotty? One of them were talking to both him and Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors, and you could just hear the camaraderie between the three of them alone. And then you watch the way Joe is over Twitter, And it's not just for comedic value. It's like a brotherhood with him, and guys look up to him. I mean, they talked about one of the questions that was asked him was how he felt, like how he was dealing or working with, or how he felt about Exum. Because Exum, when asked who his favorite player or one of his idols was in basketball growing up, Exum said it was Joe Ingles. That's what blows my mind. You know, Exum is over there in Australia, and who does he got to look up to? I mean, he's got Joe Ingles, who plays over there. And so it's kind of interesting to hear him talk about it. And the first thought that could come to mind was he's going to be the glue to this team. He's going to be that guy that tempers everything in the locker room and keeps these guys lighthearted, like you guys were saying, and keeps them together.
Yeah, I was just kind of going through his TL and looking at when him and Rudy and Derek took over 1280's broadcast. And yeah, he has fun with everybody.
Yeah, he does. It was funny to listen to, I think it was Spence that said on the radio too, I think it was Derek Favors that called him. He's like, when I first saw Joe Ingles, he told Spence, he's like, I thought he was the first thought that came to mind was the movie White Men Can't Jump. He's like, he's a white baller. He can't play basketball. and Joe comes out and proves him wrong. He's like, oh my gosh, this guy does have jumps. This guy can play. And it was just interesting to hear him kind of go back and forth and slap each other. It sounded like they were slapping Gobert upside the back of the head too. It was kind of interesting. I mean, I'm enjoying what I'm seeing from these guys.
I love how Hayward sends out, shout out to Activision for the hookup with the new expansion for Destiny the game. And Joe replies, how old are you?
See, I like this. And I like how active they all are on Twitter. I mean, even Gordon Hayward calling out Colin Cowherd this evening.
Colin Cowherd, yeah.
Yeah, totally called him out. Told him he was sitting in a glass house throwing stones. I mean, man, it's like, wow, dude. You're going all out and calling out Colin Cowherd. That's impressive. So these guys have a good camaraderie and a good feel about them, and they handle themselves with professionalism. I don't think we could ask for more.
Yeah.
What are your other thoughts out of camp?
Some of them aren't going to make it, you know? And that's the thing where they're talking about how, you know, Cooley's one of the gang, but Cooley in all likelihood is not going to be one of the 15. So, you know, it's great and they're all likable guys. It's just too bad that they're not all actually going to make the team.
I agree. It is sad. So, but, you know, and I wonder coming out of camp, how many of these guys maybe do you keep on the back burner just in case they get called on because of injuries down the road, heaven forbid, or anything like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, the reason you have 15, though, is so you can absorb a couple injuries.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm excited. I've got some additional thoughts. I'm going to probably throw something together in the next day or so, but some additional thoughts on some things that Quinn really talked about. He talked about, you know, being mentally tough, and talked about the defense. The one thing I do want to say is there was a lot of focus on Trey. There was also a lot of focus on how do they fill the void left by Exum. And I actually liked, and this is the last thing I'll mention from Quinn, I actually liked this, this statement. They talked about the defensive identity of the team, and they asked how do they fill the void left by Exum as a good defender. So Quinn responded with, you know what, Exum is a good defender. He's a great defender. Filling that void is not going to be easy, but the one thing he said is defense is about the team. It good defensive teams, regardless of who's on the floor. That's the one thing I liked about Quinn, and it goes back to identity. I think he wants to make it clear that with or without guys, they're going to be a good defensive team, whether or not Exum is there. Because it's all about the team defense.
Yeah. It is sad that we're not getting Dante. He's, you know, if NBA rank was putting him up there, he probably would have been I bet they would have said he's our fourth best player. But, you know, I think they'll be okay. I heard a lot about their team defense philosophy, and I still think they're going to be one of the best defensive teams in the NBA this year.
I agree. And that's, again, it goes back to the philosophy that Quinn is, and it goes back to being an extension of Quinn. Quinn's hard nose, tough nose. They agree. They believe in defense. They believe in that philosophy. And as long as they stick to it and stick with what he's trying to teach them, I think they're going to be fine.
Since I mentioned it, have you looked at NBA rank?
I've kept up on the statuses as they're rolling through, including what you've been tweeting out. So sort of, yes.
Okay. I'm going to do a piece once they've finished putting up all the rankings, but I've been kind of keeping track per team where they are putting their talents to just kind of get an idea of how deep or how weak they think certain teams are. And there's a couple of the Jazz guys I think are going to be better than their ranks, which isn't surprising because, you know, last year I thought Rudy was in the 300s, and I thought even as I, you know, we all knew Rudy was going to be better than that.
Right.
So there are some this year where Joe Ingles is still down at 336. And I think he showed toward the end of last year that he can do more than that. And Trey Burke slid. Trey is at 195 this year. But I do think he's going to have improvement. And so that'll put his rank back up. Going through some of the other teams, though, I'll just go to the worst team, Philadelphia. Philadelphia had only got 12 of their guys ranked, and, you know, they only have two guys in the top 200, which is Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor. And so just to give you an idea, a team like the Orlando Magic, they've got seven guys in the top 200. Toronto has seven guys in the top 200. Philadelphia has two.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
They're going to be they're once again just going to be the thinnest team in the NBA.
Which is crazy, because just what, a year ago, everybody was talking about the fact that Philly is building right. They're doing everything right, but it's sad because I think they've put so much weight on the fragile body of Joel Embiid, and look at him. He's not going to play again this season. Of course, their problems go well beyond that, but it's crazy to think that a year ago, everybody was like, these guys are building right. Give them a couple years, they're going to be good, and now this year, you're looking at it, two guys in the top 200. That's insane.
Well, I mean, they tried out Michael Carter Williams. They didn't think he was the point guard of the future, which was fine. But everything they were doing seemed geared to get D'Angelo Russell at the draft.
And they failed.
And when that didn't happen, let's just take best player available. And so I think this is the year where people are going to just be tired of Philadelphia and just say, you know what, they're not doing it right. They're flailing. They've been doing this for year after year, and they're no closer now than they were 2 years ago. So what is the point to all this? I mean, they picked up Nick Stauskas, so he's a lottery pick that maybe they can resurrect. But they're still an island of misfit toys. So,
well, and what kills me about that is this is a team that sits in a market that's a top 10 NBA market. That's a top 10 NBA market, and they can't get anything together out there.
Yeah, this is Moses Malone and Dr. J and
Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson. He got him to the finals. I mean, there is a lot of good history with that franchise, and yet for, I don't know even how long they've been doing this. It feels like they've been tanking forever, but I know it's only been 3 years.
I would have thought it's even further than that, though, because as soon as they let Iggy go is when they really decided that let's just go.
I think that was only like 3 years ago.
Was it? No, because he played in Denver. How many years did he play in Denver? He's been in Golden State for 2 years. Was it only one with Denver?
I swear, I feel like they made, I think they were like the eighth seed in the playoffs, and then they traded Drew Holiday for Michael, the pick that turned into Michael Carter Williams. Seems like that's when they gave up on everything.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I was trying to look it up, but that sounds about right. That could be. And they had banked on Iggy for doing something for a while there, too, and that didn't work out so well either, and that's not Iggy's fault. They just didn't build around him very well either. You're right, though. They really haven't done it right out there.
And I think Iggy was only in Denver for 1 year.
All right. Well,
because he was there in 2012, and was that a shortened season? I guess it was, because yeah, it says they were.
That was the 60-game season.
Yeah, that was the shortened season. So they went 35-31. They made the playoffs, first round exit. They had talent. They had Iggy. They had Drew Holiday. Elton Brand could still contribute. Spencer Hawes looked like he was going to turn into something. Evan Turner was their number two pick that they kept waiting to turn into something. But, you know, then after that, they just kind of went, forget it.
Yep.
And so we had 2013, we had 2014. Now we've had 2015. So that's 3 years. 3 years, and it really doesn't feel like they're that much closer. Other than the fact that Jahlil Okafor should be a stud.
Okay, do you know what's sad? After all their losing seasons of late, they still have a 50% winning percentage over the entire existence. A 52% winning percentage over the entire existence of their franchise. Tells you what they did early on in their career.
Oh, you're saying the franchise has a 52% winning seasons?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Over the entire length of the franchise, they're 52% in the winning percentage, in the winning bracket. That tells you what they did early on, just how bad they've been recently, and they still haven't hit the 500 mark as a franchise yet, like dropped below it.
Well, when you think of historically bad franchises, you don't think of the Sixers.
No, you don't.
If you get rid of the last 3 years, they've been a proud franchise. When I think of historically bad, I think of teams like the Clippers and the Kings, and Clippers are turned around now for the first time in history. Kings haven't been able to do anything since they traded away Chris Webber. And that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's true. So, interesting. I don't know. While we're on NBA rank, you're talking about, so how many Jazz players are expected on it? Because obviously, we've already discussed, or you did the other day on Twitter, that there's no, Elijah Millsap didn't make the list, right? Didn't make the cut?
Right. This is the first year NBA rank is doing the top 400 instead of the top 500, which makes sense since you're not going to have 500 players. If every team has 15 and there's 30 teams, that's 450 players. Now you're going to have more players than that play just with injuries and D-League guys getting called up. But it makes sense for them to just go, you know, we're just going to do the top 400. And so on the Jazz, guys that got left out is Elijah Millsap. I thought he was the big one. Jeff Withey's not in the top 400. They didn't put Dante Exum since he's injured. You know, Jack Cooley, Chris Johnson, those guys were not in the top 400. There were 12 Jazz players that did make the top 400. And of the ones they've revealed so far, Tibor Pleiss was 396. Raul Neto was 380. Bryce Cotton was 366. Joe Ingles was number 336. Trey Lyles was 292. Trevor Booker was 201. Trey Burke is 195. And Rodney Hood is 185. Now, as we're recording this, they've gone up to 160. So they still haven't revealed their top 160. And we still have four Jazz players that have yet to be revealed. So,
okay, if we could guess, Gordon Hayward makes the top 50.
Oh yeah.
Okay, Derek Favors.
The way they've set up their team, so they've already shown that they're going to have Gobert above Favors. I don't think they're going to have Favors in their top 50. I think I really think he should be right around 50. And then, and if they're going to have Rudy above him, then maybe Rudy's like number 40, and then Hayward is something like 30. That'd be about where I'd guess they'd go. SI did a ranking earlier this year, and they had
Hayward was 35 in that one.
Yeah, they had all those guys in the 30s.
And
Hayward, Favors, and Gobert.
Sorry, I said Hayward was 35 in that one, but yes, they were all in the 30s. And then I'm forgetting it was Slam Magazine did their top 50 as well, and Hayward was 35 in that one. So we have Hayward, okay, who is sitting in the 30s in two of the top player lists so far. We're still waiting for the third one to place Hayward somewhere. I like that Hayward is appearing on a lot of people's radars in the top 30, 35, 40 players in the NBA. That's saying something.
Well, if you want to do anything meaningful in the playoffs, you got to have your best player has to be a top 30 player.
Exactly.
If you just wipe out all the teams and you just draft and have 15 rounds, every team, you know, you go 1 through 30, you need to have your top guy be one of the top 30, a first round pick equivalent.
Right.
Hayward, I don't know if he's done enough for ESPN to actually be in the top 30, but he kind of hovers right around there.
Right.
I think they'll put him somewhere between 30 and 35. Something else I'm looking at is, you know, unless you have like a top 10 guy, then you need your top like three guys to be up there. So if it's important, your best players in your top 30, your average NBA team should have three players in the top 90. And I do think the Jazz have that. I think the top three are top 50.
Agreed.
But just for league averageness, you're going to want three guys in the top 90. And they'll have that easily. And, you know, that's one reason why I think they'll be a playoff team this year. Their best guys are that good, and it'll get them up there. And I'll go more into this once the other numbers are kind of rounded out. Really, it's more interesting to look and see how all the teams' benches are ranked. And you know, like Houston has 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven guys in the top 160.
Yeah,
that's a deep team, and that's what I'm seeing on these teams is those really good teams have seven or eight guys that haven't had the rank shown yet. Then you have teams like the Nets where, you know, they only have two in the top 160. Well, I can't remember if Thaddeus Young was in 160 or not, but. Jarrett Jack's their fourth best player. They put him at 186.
And you know their center is going to end up in the top 100 somewhere.
Yeah, he will. And Joe Johnson might make the top 100 still.
Right. Which I think all of this will segue into this week's. We're on our final top list for players in the NBA. For a position, I think we're up to center now, and I think this segues perfectly in because you talked about having if you've got three players in the top 90, then you have an opportunity you should be in the playoffs, and you're saying the Jazz have three players. Well, so far we've named two players to this point over our rankings that would fit in that top 90. In fact, one of them should, according to our predictions, should be in that top 30. So now we're on to centers, which is where I think another Jazz player might fit in. This week we're talking about our top picks for the top five centers in the NBA. I'm going to go first this time because you guys always go first, and I always give you a chance to go first, but I'm going to go with my first pick this time. I know I'm blowing you both away. Don't give me that look, Devin.
Go for it.
Sadly, I had it in my mind earlier, but if I were to pick my number one center in the league, it's not going to be Dwight Howard. I'll tell you that right now, people. No. the guy I would probably want as number one on my list would be Gasol in Memphis. He's either number one or number two for me, but and I'm trying to think if I'm missing somebody that I think is better than that right now. We've talked about a couple names off air. Devin, you're laughing. John is just waiting. He's rubbing his hands together. He's like, Alan, I got you on this one.
No, he's a fair choice. He was my top center last year, and I was just kind of surprised how things ended for them in the playoffs. I thought he would contribute a little bit more, but he's a solid choice.
So it's who's your number one?
It's hard to argue against him. This is hard. I actually think that he is going to have a breakout season, and we talked about it a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know if I want to say he's my number one.
Say
I think
it.
I just want to do top five and not put him in order.
Oh, come on.
Okay. All right. I think Nikola Vucevic is going to have an amazing All-Star year this year.
So he's your number one?
Yep.
Wow. John. All right. I'm serious. John's going out on a limb here. I would never have even thought of Vucevic. No way. But okay, there's number one for John.
He turns 25 this year. He was 19-11 last year. He had some injury problems, which kind of held him back a little bit. But that team in Orlando is ready to just launch forward, and I think he is going to have a great year. He's got a lot of young guards around him, and I think this is the year that Orlando finally gets back to the playoffs, and I think it's going to be because of him.
This might be the first time that we all three do not agree on a consensus top number one. Who's your guy, Devin?
You know, it's really tough because you've got a lot of guys that are right there in the same ballpark in terms of their skill, their talent level, that you can really pick a number of guys and make a compelling argument. So I'm going to say the guy that I'm going to go with, he shot over 60% from the field last season. He's going to win Defensive Player of the Year this season, and he wears a Utah Jazz uniform.
Nice.
So I'm going to go with Rudy. I think Rudy is going to have an all-star caliber season. His defense is already there. He'll have a full season as the starting big man. If he can stay healthy and if he can bring his offensive game up just a few points, because he only averaged 8.4 a game last year. If he can bring that up into, let's say, 12, 13 points a game just from the defense that he plays, I think he can make an argument that he should be on an all-star team.
John, where does he fit in your, or does he fit in your top five?
Yeah, he's in my top five.
Mine too.
I'm wrestling with him on if I make him my number two overall. And before the end of this podcast, he might be my number one. I don't know. But I'll just say this. My top five are Vucevic, Gobert, DeAndre Jordan, Mark Gasol, and Tyson Chandler.
I was torn on Chandler. Vucevic was under my radar. I wasn't going to even put him up there. You mentioned three of my top five. Gobert, DeAndre Jordan, and Mark Gasol. And Mark Gasol being my number one. DeAndre Jordan, oh my gosh, against my better judgment, I want to go as number two. And then Gobert is my number three. Although by the end of this podcast, I would probably swap them quickly. But Chandler, I had very difficult time with because he's still a great center, but I think he's had some drop off the last few years. You know, when they won a championship in Dallas, I think one could argue he was the best center in the league that year. From mm-hmm. a defensive standpoint, I mean, he was just great, but he's dropped off significantly since then. So I'm not sure if I put him even in my top five, and that's where I'm struggling with is Chandler right now.
See, Chandler, he feels like he's really old, but he's really only 32. It's just that he was 19 when he came into the NBA. But Chandler is in a really good place right now. Let's see. Actually, he turns 33 next week. So, but he's in a good position in Phoenix to keep his career rejuvenated. His time back in Dallas was good. They had a good team. They made the playoffs. It was in New York where he finally made the All-Star team. But, you know, there were some issues there. But I think Phoenix, he has a really great cast around him, and Hornacek seems like a good coach. And now if they could just stop having players suddenly decide that they hate Phoenix and want out, Chandler's the perfect mature anchor to have on your team. And he could have some drop off. I mean, he's never been like a huge scorer. I'm trying to see what is the most he's ever scored in a season. 13.6 his second year. That's the most he's ever averaged in this. Oh no, that's his per 36. It's probably been lower. 11.8. The most he's ever scored per season is 11.8 averaged. But he's had his share of double digit rebound averaging years. He was 11.5 last year still. So I see a lot of reason for him to continue with that. I don't see a reason for him to drop off that much. I mean, when you say drop off, you know, what is he going to drop off in?
Right.
He was one of the best offensive players in the NBA with his usage, because every time he did happen to use it, he used it exactly right. Even though he's only scoring 10 points a game with Dallas, his offensive rating was like 133 for the year. 133, which ties his career best. Then again, he was in Dallas, so maybe Hornacek has to figure things out to help keep him that efficient.
So I want Devin's top five, because after Devin mentions it, I have three names, because I haven't drawn out my final top five yet. I've got three players in there. I still have two spots left. But after Devin mentions his top five, I have three names that have not been mentioned yet that one or two of them might get consideration in the top five. Go ahead, Devin.
Okay, so we've got Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with both of you. I'm going to say Mark Gasol is going to be up there. And I do agree that Vucevic is going to have a good year. He was second among centers in scoring last season. So I really think he does have the potential in the East to be an all-star. I don't think either of you guys mentioned this person, and I'm going to hear about it, but you cannot leave DeMarcus Cousins off this list. I know. He is a complete head case. He can be a cancer in the locker room, but in terms of skill and talent, he is one of the top five centers in the league. Do you want him on your team? We can talk about that, but he has to be considered a top five.
And who's your fifth? Round it out with your last one.
You know, I'm going to say who's not in my top five.
No, not yet.
No, I got to say this guy, because you would think he should be in the top five. I have to say it.
And he plays in Houston.
No, he plays in Chicago. Joakim Noah. I am having such a hard time. That Kay. Noah's not one of my top five.
Yeah.
So he's one of three names I was going to mention. You guys gave me crap last week for bringing him up as a power forward. So he's one name that I was going to mention as a center we haven't mentioned yet. There are three players. He's one of them that in the East I think should be in consideration for a top center position. Al Horford is another.
Yeah.
And then let's not forget Marcin Gortat. And I know people can teeter on that, but Gortat plays with John Wall on a resurging Washington team that's looked really good for consistent 2 years now. I think he deserves some credit as a top 10 at least, borderline close to a top. I don't know if I'll put him top five yet, but Al Horford's a guy that's deserved a vote like that for many years, and he's a guy that I would seriously consider putting in my top five still.
To round out my top five, just so that you know, I'm going to put DeAndre Jordan in there as well. Just I had to make sure I got number five in there.
Okay, John, what were you going to say?
I was going to say I considered and dismissed Noah as a top five. He had a big drop off last year from his previous years, and you know maybe the new coach will help him with that. But I thought there were alarm bells with what happened to his game last year.
Wasn't he injured for part of the season?
Yeah, he only played 67 games.
Okay.
But he went from being a 12.6 points and 11.3 rebounds, he went to 7.2 points and 9.6 rebounds. His efficiency was like his career worst, his efficiency field goal percentage. And he's always been a dominant defender, and his defense was way off. It was his lowest defensive rating in 5 years. So I think he's slipped, and maybe he can get that all back now that he has a new coach. But I just see too many question marks with him to put him in my top five.
I want to add another variable in there. All of the guys that we've spoken of in the top five, with exception of one, all of them have one thing in common as well. They all have an exceptional or better than average point guard that plays alongside them. DeAndre Jordan has who? Chris Paul. Mark Gasol mm-hmm. has who? Mike Conley.
Conley?
Okay, we're talking about above average point guards here. You go down the line, Gobert is the one exception. He doesn't have a consistently good point guard yet. But every single one of those other guys, we've all mentioned Vucevic, even we could say has a potential to be better than average point guard on the team, but I don't know if he's there yet, but you look at those guys, even if I were to bring it Gortat into the conversation, look at who he's had. Now, to that argument or to that statement, now we go to Chicago. News, what, the last couple of days? Looks like Derrick Rose is going to be out again because of injury.
Yep.
Now, do you think, in my opinion, I do believe this, that the lack of Derrick Rose affects Joakim Noah greatly. I think Derrick Rose was a large part of the reason Joakim Noah was so successful the years that he was.
I wildly disagree because he was very successful the previous 2 years, and Derrick Rose has barely been there for 3 years now.
Okay, so exception to the rule.
He's constantly injured.
All right, my bad. Exception to the rule, but it was just an observation I made though as far as point guards. So I'll retract that one on Derrick Rose then. But if you notice any of the other guys we've talked about, Tyson Chandler even has a decent point guard alongside him down there. You just look at those centers, they all have a point guard. And I think there is something to be said about the relationship between center and point guard. Would you agree or disagree with that statement?
Yeah, I mean, Chris Paul's key to Jordan's success. And I think even though they don't get along, he still was willing to say, you know what, forget the Maverick money. I just want to go back to the Clippers.
Right.
I miss my home.
What was that look, Devin?
Why is Dwight getting forgotten? If Dwight's healthy and has a full year, is he still not in the top five?
I agree, and that's what I was looking at as well. But is Dwight overrated or is he legitimate top five? Because didn't he have a drop-off or kind of disappear in all the hoopla in Houston this last year as well? He was consistent, but I wouldn't say he was great, was he?
No. I mean, he missed half the season, so he wasn't quite himself. He really turned it on in the playoffs. But I just have a hard time giving Dwight that respect. I don't know. It just
So do I.
It just feels like it's totally Harden's team, and it until the playoffs came around, it felt like he could put any other center in there and it would still work.
I think that's
not really fair. I mean, Dwight's still ridiculously talented, but I just have a hard time.
Let me ask you this:
him as one of my elites.
With your top five, could you put any of those centers in Houston and have it still work just as well?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. All of them.
I will say this, though, and you're right, Devin, this was coming. I would take Dwight Howard before I would take DeMarcus Cousins. I would. And DeMarcus Cousins is crazy talented. On talent alone, yeah, I'd take Cousins. And Dwight has shown some instability at times mentally, but what Dwight brings to the table as an entire package, I'd still take before I take DeMarcus Cousins.
You know what DeMarcus Cousins needs?
A good SWAT, a good stick, a good something.
You know what else DeMarcus Cousins needs? He needs to be on a team where he is not the top guy. I think if you put him on a team where he is the second guy behind a Harden, behind a LeBron, behind a KD, something like that, where someone can kind of keep him in line, then I think Cousins perhaps reaches his potential in the NBA.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, he's top dog again this year. Second best player on that team is Rudy Gay, and then it just kind of goes down from there. You got Darren Collison and Costa Kufis, but, you know, those are everyone's a service player after that. I'm curious what they're going to do with DeMarcus playing power forward more now that they got Willie Cauley-Stein there. Putting those two on the floor together and seeing how that works. He's still going to have a great season stat-wise. They're probably going to have their best season in 7 years because that's how long it's been since they won 30 games in a season. I expect this will finally be the year. I was actually getting into a back and forth with a Kings fan on Twitter earlier because he was trying to argue that Kings were going to be getter, and it was really easy to just kind of slap them down. it wound up being a good discussion. I was kind of able to point things out to him, but
just throw the cowbell at him.
Man, that team, the Kings team. Can we talk about that? Rajon Rondo and DeMarcus Cousins on the same team.
Can you imagine if they traded for Kobe Bryant?
Oh, that would be the best.
And then George Karl's got to figure out how to make all those geekos
George
work.
George Karl's got
to
coach him.
All right, so you know who else we have not mentioned at all? And he plays in the West. And, oh, by the way, he's just put a new ring on his finger recently. And he's from Australia.
Oh, I thought someone got married.
No. I'm talking about a championship ring. And he played for the red and white locally.
Bogut?
Yes. Does he not deserve consideration for top five? What about top 10?
Maybe.
Sorry, you fans, no.
Okay, I'm gonna make an argument here though. Okay?
I don't think I could put him in my top 10.
They had
to bench him in the finals in order to win.
But let's talk about value here before he even got to the finals. He was valuable for the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs. He was. There's
absolutely the finals, yes, he was.
There's a few things he offers that team that are hard to come by with centers. He's a great passer. Not just great, he's an elite passer. The guy has a great court vision. He knows where guys are. He finds guys. He's very unselfish. Do we agree on that standpoint?
Yeah.
Okay. There's not a lot of centers, I think, on that list that necessarily fit that mold. I mean, DeAndre Jordan, horrible at some of those things. He's just, he's one of those one-dimensional, just throw the ball to the rim and make him dunk it, and he rebounds. That's about as good as he is. But Bogut offers so much more to the game as a center, which is why I think he deserves a top 10 nod.
He deserves a top 10. I'll think about it. But I don't think he actually makes it because That was what was tough in putting this one together, is there's a lot of really good centers, more than you actually think there are.
Yes, there is.
Try to break down and look at it.
You know who else we forgot?
Andre Drummond.
No, former jazz man, Al Jefferson.
Yeah, Al's top, another one.
Top 10?
You know, we haven't even mentioned the 18th highest paid player in the NBA, former jazz man.
No. We're not even going to say his name. No.
Okay.
But you know, but
one
don't
thing
you
that
think...
amused me is that NBA rank has Steven Adams ranked higher than him. And he's going to be a bench guy for him.
Okay, so we're not going to mention his name, but Steven Adams or him, who's higher on the center ranking? In your opinions.
Adams.
Adams.
Okay.
I just think Adams he's a better two-way player. There's more potentials there. I think he's a year younger, but
yeah, it's all about getting your numbers in the NBA, right? It's all about getting your numbers. Sorry, I just had to throw that
well,
in there.
If it's all about getting your numbers, then Bogut only scores 6 points a game, so he's hard to put up there.
All right, Alan, shut up now.
I mentioned Drummond. What do you guys think? Would you put him in your top 10?
He's one who could blow up. Okay, so let me think about my top 10. If my top 10 are Gasol, Gobert, Jordan, Vucevic, and Chandler, did I name five there?
Yes.
Then the next five, I'm looking at Howard, Cousins, Horford, who should actually be higher. Jefferson, Brooke Lopez.
That's five.
There's five.
Yes.
I'm comfortable with that. So yeah, Drummond doesn't quite make my top 10.
What about some names we haven't mentioned yet? We talked off air about them. Pekovic and Dane.
Pekovic, I put ahead of Dang. Dang's still got work to do. But you know what's kind of another reason I think Trey should really prove himself this year? The Jazz traded Shabazz Muhammad and Gorgui Dieng for Trey, and both of those guys are higher than him in NBA rank this year. So I want him to get some of his value back, dang it.
All right. Yeah. Agreed.
I deleted one of my sheets. Shoot.
So I think my top 10 then, or my top five, I had Marc Gasol. I had DeAndre Jordan and Rudy Gobert rounding out my top three. I went with, who did I have at number four? Oh my gosh. I know who I had at number five. I had Al Horford at number five. I'm trying to remember who my number four was. I don't know whether I want to go with Vucevic yet like you guys do, so I don't know if I'm going there. And Chandler was the other guy I wasn't sure about. So leaving those two off, okay, I'll put Dwight as number four on my list then. There's my top five. So then if I were to go the next five, it's interchangeable no matter what, and that's when you include... names we've mentioned already. Oh my word. Marcin Gortat. Sorry guys, I still think he's a top center because of what he offers as well.
It's not a ridiculous choice. I mean, he's averaged 14 and 10 the past 2 years.
Yeah. Let's see, who else am I missing? Brooke Lopez rounds out my top 10. I still think Joakim Noah would be in my top 10. I also would put... I know I'm forgetting somebody because there's one more that I haven't filled out, right? Am I missing one? Al Jefferson. Sure, let me put Al at the top 10. I'll just put him in as a courtesy because I can't think of who else. Which, I mean, okay, let's be honest. Al Jefferson's not a bad pick in the top 10 either. The guy can put up points. The guy can get things done. I mean, he puts up pretty decent numbers. Has his numbers dropped off much since he's been in Charlotte? I don't think they have they?
No, I mean, they did overall, no. They were a little down last year because he had some injury problems and he missed 17 games. So it wasn't his best year last year.
I know he's trying to get healthier and lose some weight. Maybe he showed up in training camp in better shape. Maybe, the thing is about Al Jefferson, everybody remembers what he's done here in Utah, but even I'm looking at overall what he's done in his career. He was great in Minnesota. He was great in Utah, and now he's in Charlotte and he's still putting up good numbers. I think he deserves consideration in the top 10 to 15 area for me. Maybe I give him the courtesy top 10, and maybe not. Oh, and by the way, Devin, I know what jazz man you're talking about that plays on that other team that should be considered. It's Costa Kufis. Since we're not mentioning the other guy, well, let's just give Costa Kufis some love. I'm kidding.
I wouldn't put Costa in my top 10, but
I wouldn't either. I'm just saying. Okay, so
he's
we've
in Sacramento now.
All right. No. Oh, did he go to Sacramento? All right. Fine.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be the mature one with Cousins and Willie Cauley-Stein.
So yes, as you've noticed, I didn't really put Cousins in any of my top 10. I can't. His head case just turns me off.
I know.
Time.
I could not in good conscience keep him out of my top 10, though. I mean, he is just so dang talented. And, you know, every year there's that potential. Is this year that he figures it out? Is this year he turns it around?
Yeah.
So,
Alan, I want your take. I had said that Cousins needs to be the number two guy on a team. If that were to happen somehow, there were talks about him being traded last season. So if that were to happen, could you put him in your top 10? Do you think that could help him get it together?
He's been the number two guy on a team before in college. Would you not put him in? Was he not a number two guy in Kentucky? Who was the number one and number two guy? They had Bledsoe with him, and who was the lead point guard?
Oh, man, you're making us go back there.
I'm just saying, that's the last time I think he was a second-tier guy.
He played with... Was Wall? Was it him and Wall?
I think it might have been Wall. And Bledsoe was on that team. So okay. He was decent then, but there were still concerns of him coming out of college with where his head was at. I don't know. Verdict is out for me for Cousins.
I mean, that was a great team. That was you had Wall and Bledsoe in the back. Cousins was your center, and then you also had Patrick Patterson.
I think Brandon Knight was coming off the bench for at least that one year, wasn't he?
And then they had Daniel Orton coming off the bench. I mean, that was a crazy talented team.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You're saying in good conscience you can't put him in the top 10.
Put him out of the top 10.
Well, yeah.
He has to be at least top 10.
And for so many reasons on the other end of the spectrum, I can in good conscience put him in the top 10. Because every time you want to put expectations on him that he is at that level, then he goes and makes a boneheaded move, does something stupid, and then suddenly it's like, you're exactly who we thought you were. You're exactly who we thought you were, a wasted talent. Just, I don't know. I just can't in good conscience believe that right now. So, Devin, in answer to your question, I want to see that play out before I can make a judgment.
And this is where I would like to know what the listeners think. I would like to know where they stand with Cousins. If you had to put him at a number, even if he's not in the top 10, where are you going to drop him at? Tweet us.
There you go. Get at us, guys. Tell us what your thoughts are, just like you have every week. We've had some good listener feedback the last few weeks on our consensus. We want more this time. We want your thoughts. Tweet us. We'll share them with everybody out there. But I want to know, as well, where you guys feel some of these guys are that we've mentioned, and if we're way off base on some of our guys, if we're not so way off base, I'd be curious our manager's thoughts, Mr. Grant Bagby, on Joakim Noah and where he fits him in the top 10. So I might have to ask him that one, because I'd be curious, as a Chicago Bulls fan like he is, where he places Joakim Noah on a center's list. So, no, yeah, everybody get at us. Absolutely. All right. So that's our top 10. We've rounded out all five positions in the NBA. Where do we go from here? We'll have to see. There's some future options for discussions.
Next week, we will have already had a preseason game or two in the books. So.
Yes, we will. So we'll have much more evidence to talk about. So before we call this quits, we've been at it for a while this evening. I wanted to bring something up last week, and I didn't, so I want to bring it up briefly this week. There is a great site that was started by Derek Jeter out there called the Players Tribune. I don't know if either one of you have had a chance to really delve into it, read much of it. But I want your thoughts, and this also includes Gordon Hayward and what he does with his own blog. How do you guys feel about professional athletes having a voice like that in a journalistic atmosphere with their thoughts on their peers and their thoughts on sports as a whole? How do you guys feel about reading that kind of stuff?
Well, they're telling us now.
What?
Our listeners, they're responding to you right now.
I'm asking you to.
Oh, me?
Yes.
I think it's a good idea. I haven't really looked at it that much, probably because it was started by a baseball guy and I don't care about baseball. But if the NBA guys are getting involved, then I probably will read more.
I'll give you a suggestion, John, because you might want to read it, because there are some guys, whether they're baseball or basketball, who seem to chime in on wrestling a lot too, and they talk about the WWE and where some of their favorite guys are and what they think. It's very interesting. I think I just piqued your interest. I think I just maybe did.
Mm.
What do you think, Devin? I mean, these guys are out there. Like, I want to go to this recent article, Isaiah Thomas. Okay. Not even a starter in this league. You know, I wouldn't even put him on the top 20 list of point guards in the NBA.
Oh, that Isaiah Thomas.
That Isaiah Thomas. We're not talking about the championship, you know, bad boy. I'm talking about the Isaiah Thomas in the league right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He recently wrote a piece on the Players Tribune where he talked about, from his vantage point, his top ballers, top ball handlers in the NBA, and he put together a really fine list. I mean, Chris Paul was on that list. Steph Curry was on that list. Pretty much everybody we had talked about was on that list. And he went through and just gave a breakdown from his vantage point of having to play against them as to why they fit on that list. And it was impressive. It was very well written.
You know, I like it. I like having that inside perspective, you know, because we can sit here and we can say, oh, Steph Curry is the greatest point guard in the game right now. But you may have someone in the league that says, Steph's great, but let me tell you what it's like to try and defend when you've got Chris Paul running the point.
Right.
Because they're going to have a perspective that I am not going to get from a chair at Energy Solutions Arena. I'm not going to get from my couch at home, and I'm not going to get from all the wisdom that is on Twitter. These guys have something that we really want. I mean, look at how many followers people have on Twitter. We care what these athletes have to say.
Exactly.
So if they want to say something that takes more than 140 characters, more power to you. Because really, they have some time to spare. So they're doing something more. They don't have to do this. They're doing something that the fans can enjoy. I love it.
And I'm going to bring this back home, back to Gordon Hayward. I read his blog posts all the time. He'll always tweet them. I have him on notification. I read them. And I like to read what his thoughts are. He doesn't just talk about gaming, but he talks about the game of basketball. I liked when he went through the playoffs and started talking about this team and that team and what do they have to offer and who his picks are. And it's very interesting to hear him break down some of those players because he's played against them. Talk about what they do on the court, where he thinks they're going to end up. And he's not wrong. A lot of the things he says are spot on because he plays against them. Back to what you said. I mean, it's kind of nice to read these guys. And it's not just basketball, mind you. Anybody gets a chance. On Twitter, it's Players Tribune, at Players Tribune. The website is The Players Tribune. But it's worth reading because it's athletes from all walks of life, from every platform, and they're writing about things. I read an interesting article the other day from a guy who's a rookie in the NFL, and he talked about what it's like to have to play cornerback as a rookie in the NFL and talk about the adjustment from being a college player to the NFL and the rule changes. There's some good stuff being written by these players, and I think it's just worth it was worth some discussion.
Okay.
So, anyway. All right. That should wrap it up this week. Do we want to poke in any sort of movie talk? Anything to talk about this week?
No, I didn't see anything this weekend, and we've been going for over an hour, so
yeah, it's probably time to call it good. I haven't seen anything either, so no movie talk this week, but it's been a packed episode. We've had a lot to talk about. So, all right, well, let's wrap this baby up. Let's tie a bow on it, put a pretty little bow, and say we've got a present wrapped for all of you. Unwrap and enjoy. Thanks for joining us. You can find us on Facebook, Jedi and Germs. You can find us on Twitter at Jedi and Germs, at Jedi Zog, at Germs Guy, and at Torn by Devin. Please get at us. Offer your feedback on today's episode and any episode you might have. Leave a review on iTunes. We've got a few reviews out there. We've appreciated what people have said. We encourage you all to please and ask. We're shy of begging. Leave a review on iTunes for us. Let us know what you think. And you can find us on Stitcher and iTunes, Jedi and Germs on the Jazz. Thank you for joining us. Look for us next week. Jazz preseason. Good night, everybody. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.